following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255-458-TALK. What's on your mind about firearms today? It is another great day in Fairbanks. The sun is shining and the temperature is 46 wonderful warm degrees this morning outside here downtown and at the broadcasting station. With me today, Melissa is expertly running the board. Thank you, Melissa. And she's keeping the Shooter's Corner archives up to date, so if you miss a program, it will be accessible in the archives within a day. What is on our agenda today? For history, let's talk about John Wesley Hardin. Hardin was one of the best shots, but one of the worst outlaws of the Old West. And after that, I will spend the rest of the hour on new material for how to practice firearm skills. Now, last week, Tom called in and asked about the senior games. I did give them a call. They are planning to hold the senior games August 6th through 15th this year. I'm going to give you their telephone number. It's 907-978-2388. Registration should be ready in a week or so. Some of the venues may change and some of the events may be modified to deal with all the stuff we're dealing with these days with COVID, but they do plan on going forward. And I've asked the lady I talked to either call in or come on the program here in the near future and talk about the senior games and what they're going to do this year. Now, let's talk about the life of famous Old West outlaw John Wesley Hardin. Last week, I mentioned that Uberti had a new gun out for 2021, the Uberti Hardin Revolver. And the Uberti Hardin Revolver is an addition to Uberti's Outlaws and Lawmen series of firearms reproductions. And along with this new reproduction dedicated to the heritage of John Wesley Hardin, who I'll talk about in a minute, Uberti also came out with another reproduction to commemorate Teddy Roosevelt. In all, there are 8 pistols in this Outlaws and Lawmen series. If anyone is interested in viewing these limited edition reproductions, just go to the Uberti USA website. Now, before I get to John Wesley Hardin, let me summarize the information on the Uberti site for their collection of reproductions. There's the Hardin, the Teddy, the Frank, the Jesse, the Doc, the Wild Bill, the Bonnie, and the Dalton. Now, the Teddy, referencing Theodore Roosevelt, is a reproduction of a Colt 1873 single-action Cattleman new model with engraving they say is faithful to the original. Quote, rancher, police commissioner, hunter, conservationist, assistant secretary of the Navy, cavalry colonel, and, of course, the 26th president of the United States, unquote, is how Uberti describes President Roosevelt. Now, I need to take a little detour here. I came across an article in the May issue of Guns and Ammo titled Trickle Down that talks about modernization of guns in police departments. And I'll report on that in a week or two, but this is just a teaser. Quote, the first truly modern police department was created by Napoleon in the wake of the French Revolution, unquote. And a few paragraphs later, the author goes on to say that New York City was the first to standardize the handguns its police force carried. And guess who was responsible for that? None other than Theodore Roosevelt. Now, Roosevelt was appointed as New York City Police Commissioner in 1894. By 1896, Roosevelt wanted to standardize the New York City police force's firearms in order to simplify training. And he first standardized on the Colt new police revolvers. And those were replaced by the Colt Police Positive in 1907. And these had a hammer block safety. Now, Roosevelt ordered 4,500 of these, which was the largest order ever by a police department. And that puts standardization of firearms on the map for other police departments. And this will be a fun topic for another date. And pardon my letting a brief off-target little darling into this morning's program. I'm ignoring author Stephen King's caution to kill your darling so that I stay on topic. So let's get back to Eberti's Outlaws and Lawmen series. The Frank is a replica of the Remington 1875 used by Frank James, who was Jesse James's brother. The Jesse commemorates Jesse James' Colt 1873 single-action cattleman new model, just one of many guns that Jesse James had. And the Doc replicates Doc Holliday's 1873 single-action cattleman new model. The Wild Bill commemorates James Butler, Wild Bill Hickok, 1851 Colt revolving Navy pistol conversion chambered in 38 special. And next to last is the Bonnie, which is a replica of William Billy the Kid Bonnie's Colt 1873 single action cattleman new model. And last there is the Dalton, another 1873 single action cattleman that, quote, Eberti recreates in the most minute details the revolver that was recovered from Bob's body on that ill-fated October day, unquote. And that ill-fated October day was in 1892 when armed townspeople killed Robert Dalton and some of his gang as they attempted to rob a bank in Coffeyville, Kansas. Now, it was the new Hardin, the reproduction of the John Wesley Hardin gun that I talked about last week, that got me thinking I'd like to know more about John Wesley Hardin. So some of these Old West characters were outlaws, but at the same time, historians do find some of them to have compassion. Some of these outlaws we might even feel sorry for, like Billy the Kid, who as a young boy experienced a rough life with very little supervision. But to me, John Wesley Hardin seemed to have a natural mean streak. Hardin was an outlaw and gunfighter. Historians say he was one of the best, if not the best, gunfighter in his day. For Old West firearms enthusiasts and collectors, any possessions attributed to Hardin are in very high demand. From the Eberti website, quote, after reportedly killing his first man at age 15, John Wesley Hardin spent the rest of his life being pursued by lawmen. Hardin sewed his holsters into his vest with the butts of the pistols pointing inwards so he could quickly pull them with a cross draw, which Hardin claimed was the fastest way to draw, unquote. Now, John Wesley Hardin was born in 1853. He was the second of eight children, and he was shot to death in 1895 at 42 years old. So he lived a life of constantly looking over his shoulder, always pursued by lawmen. When Hardin was 23 years old, he was sentenced to 24 years in prison for murder. He served 17 of those years before being released in 1894. And as I said, he was killed 1 year later, 1895. Now, think about this. Hardin spent about 40% of his entire life in jail. Hardin was known for embellishing stories and making stories up, so it is hard for historians to know exactly how many men Hardin killed. Hardin claimed at one time to have killed 42 men, but much fewer are substantiated by historians. Articles I read say he killed between 27 and 42 men. Now, I found a genealogy article by a second cousin three times removed from Hardin. And the article is titled, My Outlaw Cousin, John Wesley Hardin, The Apple Fell Far from the Tree. And it's dated August 29th, 2014. And you can find it on the author's website, which is called genealogywithvalerie.com. Now, the author tells us that if she wrote about all the things John Hardin did, it would fill several books. And in fact, on Amazon, I stopped counting after 16 books about Hardin. There's one book titled The Life of John Wesley Hardin from the original manuscript as written by himself. Even if Hardin was not an upstanding citizen, to write an autobiography while in jail shows he did think enough of himself to want others to know his story. Now, John Wesley Hardin was a son of a Methodist preacher. He was named after the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley. Hardin's grandfather, Benjamin P. Hardin, was a justice of the peace and a sheriff and a general assemblyman in Tennessee. And Hardin was the great-grandson of Revolutionary War hero Colonel Joseph Hardin. And his relative, who I mentioned, wrote the article that I pulled these bits of information from, wrote, quote, "It makes one wonder how this young man, of whom people have said had no soul and showed no remorse for what he had done, could descend from man of true character and virtue." And we're going to go to a break, and I'll be back right around the corner.
This is Ben from Auto Trim Design. We are really busy this year and need more people to join our team. We have openings for several different positions and are looking forward to having new people join our crew. We offer vacation pay, health insurance, retirement benefits, and we'll even train the right people. If working in the automotive accessory or graphics field is right for you, apply in person today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman Street, under the huge American flag. And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Avoid unwanted adventures on the road. Before you leave home, wheel bearings to wiring and lights, make sure your trailer is safe with service from Arctic RV. And that goes for your motorhome and camper too. Bodywork to appliances, Arctic RV. So when the mood hits you, whenever that is, your toys are as ready to roll as you are. Book your appointment now. Be ready then. Alaska plays rough, rough it in style. Arctic RV, 30th and Pegger, Fairbanks.
Extend the life of your car or truck. Keep it in top shape with Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers is a complete auto shop. They do it all. Tune-ups to winterizing. Even engine and transmission rebuilds right on the premises. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. They've been helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Call family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair and be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy today with highs around 60. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight. Lows level off around 39. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 59. Cloudy skies. Low 60s Saturday and Sunday with a chance of scattered showers Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 51 degrees.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Cooper and Bridgestone Tires for everything you tow and every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458 Talk and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. Now, Hardin, John Wesley Hardin, did some terrible things, and I've chosen to tell you about a few of them. First, I have to say that while Hardin was in jail for doing these terrible things, he read theological books, and he became the superintendent to the prison Sunday school. But he became bedridden for 2 years in jail when an old gunshot wound became reinfected, and it was while he was in prison that he wrote his autobiography. But as I said, he was known for wild exaggerations. Now, when Hardin was 14 years old and attending the school his father ran, someone put graffiti on the wall that insulted a girl in their class. And a boy named Chester Slaughter said Hardin did it, and Hardin said Slaughter did it. And the argument ended with Hardin stabbing Slaughter with his knife and almost killing him. A year later, when Hardin was 15, he challenged his uncle's former slave, a freed slave, to a wrestling match and won. And Hardin's version of the story is that the following day, the former slave ambushed him, shouting and waving a stick, and Hardin shot him 5 times. And what I read is that Hardin's father did not believe Hardin would get a fair trial killing a former slave in a Union state, so he sent Hardin into hiding. Unfortunately for Hardin, three Union soldiers tracked him down. And I was a little confused by that because although Texas, where he was living, started out as part of the Union, it seceded in March 2nd of 1861 to join the Confederacy. And the Civil War was from 1861 to 1865, and that would have been over by the time Hardin killed the freed slave and the three Union soldiers. But nevertheless, here is a quote from Hardin. "I waylaid them, as I had no mercy on men who I knew only wanted to get my body to torture and kill. It was war to the knife, and I brought it on by opening the fight with a double-barreled shotgun and ended it with a cap-and-ball six-shooter. Thus, it was by fall of 1968 I had killed four men and was myself wounded in the arm," unquote. We have a caller. All right, caller, you are on the line.
Yes, just to clear up your confusion,
yes.
In Texas, after the Civil War, the Union soldiers occupied the land of Texas
and instituted
a bunch of regulations on them, on what kind of firearms and bullets that they could use.
Okay.
So that's why the Union soldiers were in Texas at that time.
That makes perfect sense. Thank you so much. I was really confused about that. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Now, I'm not sure that I'm going to buy any of the books about John Wesley Hardin or his autobiography. He's just too depressing. However, one of the best articles about Hardin's life I read online is titled "Hardin's Deadly Tools. John Wesley Hardin was a master craftsman of death, and these were the tools of his trade." And there's great pictures of the guns he used in that article. The website I got that from is True West Magazine, and the article is dated March 12, 2012, authored by Phil Spangenberger. And one of the reasons Hardin's outlaw guns and memorabilia command such a high price is that between his autobiography and firsthand witness accounts, some of his guns are very well documented. And Spangenberger also points out that when a Hardin gun is not specified, historians can fairly well piece together what he might have used because we know the chronology of firearms development. Now, the article states, quote, "Hardin, arguably the most deadly of the Old West's gunmen, was a notorious desperado whose career spanned three decades, minus almost 16 years in prison, that ranged from the end of the percussion era of the late 1860s to well into the age of metallic cartridge arms, 1895, unquote. And here's another quote. "To say that Hardin was good with his guns would be an understatement. During his lifetime, he was considered to be the best shot, the fastest draw, an excellent horseman, and the deadliest gunman in the West," unquote. Now, one story is that while Hardin was being held by Texas Rangers, the Rangers unchained him so Hardin could demonstrate his gun handling ability with two empty guns. And this was in 1877, and one of the Texas Rangers present at that event documented what he witnessed. Quote, "The Ranger remembered he handled the Colts as a sleight-of-hand performer manipulates a coin. The quick draw, the spin, the rolls, pinwheeling, border shift, he did them all with magical precision," unquote. And listeners, I need more help here. If you know, please call in and tell us what rolls, pinwheeling, and border shift was in the Old West with firearms. I had never heard of border shift with a gun before. I tried to find these definitions, but I probably just wasn't using the right search terms. Now, another quote documented by a contemporary of Hardin is, quote, "When he was young, he could get out a six shooter and use it quicker than a frog could eat a fly," unquote. And one more quote, "He wore a special calfskin vest with built-in holsters containing two Colt 41 caliber revolvers," end of that quote. Now, the author says that neither the calfskin vest nor the bulletproof vest that Hardin was said to have used have ever been found. And Hardin is said to have practiced every day in front of a mirror in his boarding house room, and clearly he was dry practicing. Several statements I read are attributed to Hardin's landlady. He was living at a boarding house in El Paso. And here's another quote from this one's from his landlady. "He would place his guns inside his breeches in front with the muzzles out, and then he would jerk them out by the muzzle with a toss as quick as lightning, grasp them by the handle, and have them clicking in unison," unquote. Now, Phil Spangerberger, the author of the article I'm taking information from, the article titled Hardin's Deadly Tools, notes that during Hardin's early career from 1868 to 1877, he would have used cap-and-ball revolvers because the self-contained metal cartridge guns were new then, and they were not plentiful. Now, Spangenberger also writes that in Hardin's autobiography, he frequently mentions Colt revolvers. The author says, based on the dates of Hardin's gunfights, the likely Colt models would have been the Model 1860 Army 44 or the 1851 and 1861 models in 36 bore. Now, it's possible Hardin might have had the metallic cartridge conversions, but that isn't documented. One Colt 1851 Navy in 36 caliber was identified by serial number in a letter by one of Hardin's cousins who received it from Hardin when Hardin bought a new model. So Hardin also mentions using Colt 44 caliber. And the author thinks that is most likely the 1860 Army model. And this would have been used in Hardin's first killing in 1868 when he killed the freed slaves. And it's thought he used that same Colt 44 to kill the next three men, the Union soldiers who came to arrest him for that first killing. And here's another quote about a gun Hardin used. When Hardin was captured in Pensacola, Florida on July 23, 1877, he had an 1860 model 44 cap and ball Army Colt revolver on him. He had been unable to draw his six-shooter since it was strapped to his galluses, much to the relief of the arresting officers, unquote. And I read in a different article that what happened is that while drawing his gun, he got tangled up in his suspenders. And for our smartest person in the room word today, it is galluses, which I had to look up. And galluses are suspenders for trousers. The word galluses is supposed to be a variant of gallows in its obsolete meaning, which meant braces. And the term goes way back to the 1300s, where in various countries in Europe, the term meant poles or poles with a cross to hang someone or crucify them. So I'm not sure how Hardin got his caught in his suspenders while drawing his gun, but let's all try not to do that. Keep your holstered gun clear of your suspenders. Okay, now one more historian knew Hardin used a Smith & Wesson Model 3 Russian first model in 44 caliber with Russian chambering, and he used this to kill a deputy sheriff in 1874. It was this killing that Hardin was finally jailed for. It was documented that this Model 3 Russian first model was chambered in metallic cartridges, so we do know by this other historian that at least one metallic cartridge six-shooter that he used before he went to prison. Now, Hardin used long guns, too, and in one story, a lawman was saved because a cap failed to ignite the main charge on a double-barreled cap-lock scattering gun that Hardin was about to use when charging his victim in the rain. And here's a quote from Hardin in the article that I read. "I wheeled, stopped my horse, cocked my shotgun. I had a handkerchief over the tubes to keep the caps dry. And just as I pulled the trigger, the wind blew it back and the hammer fell on the handkerchief. That saves his life." Waller, and Waller was the lawman that Hardin was aiming at. Waller checked up his horse and broke back to his men, unquote. And there are so many stories that I'm going to run out of time. I'm going to tell you two more. Hardin and two other men stayed the night at a hotel after an evening of heavy drinking and gambling. And one man shared a room with Hardin, but the other was in an adjacent room. And Hardin was awakened by a loud snoring coming from his friend in the adjacent room. Hardin shouted for the man to wake up, but he did not. To stop the snoring, Hardin, who was still drunk, fired several rounds through the wall to awaken the man. And one of the bullets hit that gentleman in the heart as he lay in bed and instantly killed him. And as I said, Hardin was considered one of the Old West's most dangerous outlaws. Hardin was finally shot and killed by a constable, John Selman, at the Acme Saloon in El Paso after Hardin threatened Selman and his son. And it said Selman walked into the Acme Saloon where Hardin was drinking and simply shot Hardin in the back of the head with a Colt 45 Peacemaker. Hardin died instantly. Helman Selman said that Hardin drew first, but no one believed that. And given Hardin's firearm skills, the minister who attended to Hardin after he was shot, according to the author Phil Spangenberger of this article, here's a quote. The minister suggested that if Selman had shot Hardin through the eye from the front, it would have been remarkably good marksmanship. And if Selman had shot him from behind, it was probably remarkably good judgment, unquote. And in closing about John Wesley Hardin, I do not understand why so often memorabilia from the worst outlaws, even if it's Old West memorabilia, sell so well. From a SanFranciscoGate.com article titled Fastest Draw at the Auction House, I learned that the bullet that killed Hardin in the shootout at the Acme Saloon was auctioned off for $80,000. And we're going to go to break, and I'll tell you a few more auction prices, and then we'll pick up our next subject.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep.
In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings back and forward in his saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated. There is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run when they hear the fellas come, because the western folks all know.
Fairbanks local talk radio station, 97.5 FM, 660 AM KFAR.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Twitter has shut down an account posting content from former President Trump's new website.
A Twitter account called @DJTDesk has been suspended after apparently sharing posts from former President Trump's new webpage called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump. A Twitter spokesperson told the New York Post, as stated in our ban evasion policy, we'll take enforcement action on accounts whose apparent intent is to replace or promote content affiliated with a suspended account.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. Florida's Republican governor signing a new law putting restrictions on ballot drop boxes.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signing the bill in Palm Beach, which he says will provide oversight on the use of drop boxes, mandating they can't be left unsupervised, and elections officials who do will be subject to thousands of dollars in fine.
Fox's Eben Brown. Critics say the law is designed to suppress voting. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Governor Mike Dunleavy has proposed letting Alaska Native Vietnam War veterans exchange promised federal land allotments that many say are not available in their cultural regions for state lands. Details would need to be worked out through the legislative process, with lawmakers eyeing adjournment of the current legislative session in about 2 weeks. Several legislators attended Wednesday's announcement, along with Alaska Native veterans. Dunleavy says he sees this as an opportunity to right a wrong the federal government should have addressed long ago. The Justice Department's massive prosecution of those who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th has not been without its problems, including a potential instance of mistaken identity. The home of an Alaska woman was raided by agents who did not arrest her, and she says she was wrongly identified. She said the agents told her they were looking for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's laptop. As Republicans are increasingly seeking to minimize the insurrection and play down the horror of that day, any missteps by federal prosecutors could be used in that effort to discredit what actually happened.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hi, this is Ben from Auto Trim Design. We are really busy this year and need more people to join our team. We have openings for several different positions and are looking forward to having new people join our crew. We offer vacation pay, health insurance, retirement benefits, and we'll even train the right people. If working in the automotive accessory or graphics field is right for you, apply in person today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman Street, under the huge American flag. And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255, 458-TALK, and tell us what's on your mind about firearms. Today, we're talking about John Wesley Hardin, and I'm just finishing up with some auction prices here. A personal photo album of Hardin's sold at auction in 2019 for $129,800, and a small piece of paper, just a torn little piece of paper. I saw a picture of it, an IOU from the Wigwam Saloon to John Hardin and signed by Hardin, noting Hardin owed for a bottle of rye whiskey, $1.10, and loss at dice, $6, sold January 2019 for $10,620. And another larger piece of paper with the Wigwam's records of Hardin's purchase and gambling debts sold for $18,880. This was just a piece of ledger paper, but a historian could create a period of someone's life from it, what Hardin bought, what he paid for on account, who he bought that bottle of liquor for. And clearly, he carried guns and drank liquor, and I have to think maybe that was part of the problem. Hardin's most iconic photo that is said to be the only known original photograph of Hardin sold for $64,000. And this is a good one. The casino gambling game of faro cards, that originated in Western Europe during the late 17th century. But by about 1820, it was no longer a popular game in Europe. However, it did become popular in America during the California Gold Rush days, a period of about 1848 to 1855. And the game was popular in the Old West. And Hardin apparently took a deck of faro cards and shot groups through them one card at a time. And then he signed the cards and gave them away.
We have a caller.
All right. You are on the line.
Good morning, Laura. This is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
I had something I just felt like I had to share.
Yes.
A little humor related to firearms.
Yes, please do. You're laughing. It must be funny because you're laughing before you.
Well, it goes to the veracity of what is presented on television as fact in Law and Order dramas. At any rate, this fellow had committed a murder and had been in jail for 25 years. And this drama was occurring in our time right now, and so. A young district attorney was sent to voice the people's opinion at the parole hearing. And he asked the fellow, now keep in mind this fellow's been in jail for 25 years.
Yeah.
He asked the fellow how at the time of the shooting he came to be in possession of a SIG P320.
And?
Okay, he's been in jail for 25 years. The P320 was introduced in 2014.
Oh.
I just thought that was interesting.
That's great. That's great. Call in with more of those.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Oh, that was good. Thank you, Ron. So, with these faro cards, he would shoot a group in them and then sign them and give them away. And these cards occasionally show up at an auction. And experts say they are all from the same deck. And one of these cards in 2016 sold for $7,200. And this gave me a great idea. I think all of us who have business cards should tape them onto a larger cardboard and shoot a small group in each one, maybe five shots. And we could use those as business cards. And what a great way to start a conversation, especially for a firearms enthusiast or an instructor. I think I'd have to use a hole punch for mine to get a nice group. And if we become famous, think what our business cards will be worth someday. And I can see that I'm not going to be able to finish. I'm going to start it, but I won't be able to finish my whole discussion on how to practice for a firearm. So I just want to remind you of something else for a minute here. First, all that money that's being spent on John Wesley Hardin's memorabilia, would you rather join the Gun of the Month Club? Have any of our listeners ever looked at Cabot Guns website? It's Cabot Guns, C-A-B-O-T, and they make custom guns. And I first learned about Cabot Guns from Brian Zins when he came to Fairbanks to give a bullseye workshop. Zins was a Cabot Guns ambassador. And I sometimes look at the Nighthawk Custom Guns website or the Cabot Guns website just to look at pretty guns. And I don't have that kind of money to spend. My tastes tend more towards vintage guns rather than the current custom guns, even if I could spend the money. But these custom guns are nice to look at. And I spent a few minutes to check out what Cabot Guns was offering these days, and everything they have is sold out. You have to order and wait. I noticed something new on the Cabot Guns website. They call it our Elite Membership Program, a new exclusive 1911 delivered each month of 2021. Only 21 of each model will be produced, and even that is sold out. Now, I can't imagine this, sort of a gun of the month club like fruit baskets or boxes of chocolate delivered monthly. Most are 1911 45 ACP, but July and October are chambered in 9mm, and September is chambered in 38 Super. There is no caliber given for November, except they say it blurs the lines between guns and art. December's 1911 is chambered in 10mm. Now, we're into big dollars here. It's $84,740 for the Gun of the Month Club. And folks, as I said, it is sold out. Now, the Cabot Guns Company Gun of the Month Club, which you can join for $84,740 and get a gun each month, is sold out. That just amazes me. That's roughly $7,000 a gun. Now, maybe some company will come up with the Ammunition of the Month Club. Maybe you could prepay and choose an array of calibers you'd like to receive each month and be assured of receiving them even during this ammunition shortage. So hopefully you will go over to that Cabot Guns website and take a look at their Gun of the Month Club. Now, a few weeks ago, I started talking about training techniques, and I was taking information from Chris Synog's workbook titled New Rules of Marksmanship, a Manifesto and Training Manual that will completely change the way you learn to shoot. And on his website, Chris Synog writes about himself that he is, quote, a retired U.S. Navy SEAL instructor who literally wrote the book on Navy SEAL sniper training. Because of my experience with firearms and my unique ability to quickly train others, the Navy Special Warfare Command, WARCOM, selected me to develop the curriculum for the current U.S. Navy SEAL sniper training program, unquote. Now, I have all three of Synog's book, but it's his workbook that I like best. And a few weeks ago, I started talking about how to properly practice in terms of getting the most out of your practice session. And that means what is the best method to perform deliberate training so that the time we put into training nets us the best skill development. Now, if you recall, I spent one Shooter's Corner session talking about deliberate training. We talked about attention residue and skill chunks. That was on March 18. And then in a second Shooter's Corner hour, Don Logan was on as a guest, and he discussed the biological way our bodies build what's commonly called muscle memory. And he went through what we call the myelination process. That was on March 25th. So if you missed either or both of those programs, you can look in the archives for March 18 and March 25 to catch up with where we are now. Now, very briefly to refresh our memory, skill chunks are how we break down a skill we need to learn into very small chunks. If we can practice one chunk at a time, perfect it, and then string all those chunks together, that will give us one smooth execution. Attention residue is when we try to switch from one task to another and we have thoughts about the first task still percolating in our mind and keeping us from fully concentrating on the next task we're trying to concentrate on. And I want to give some examples of how to break down our practice sessions into skill chunks. So let's pretend you want to perfect your skills at shooting bullseye matches. Do you practice by shooting a slow fire target, then shoot a time fire target, then move on to a rapid fire target? Well, if you're at the range for an hour, you could fit three of those iterations in during an hour. Now you'd have nine targets, each three of which are different skill sets. And if you do that, do you think you're practicing deliberate training and avoiding attention residue? I would say no. That's not correctly practicing for most of us. Now, most of us, some people can practice that way. We're all different. The first thing we have to do before we ever arrive at the range is define one skill chunk that we want to perfect that day. Now, if you practice by shooting one or two entire bullseye aggregates, you likely won't improve any of your skills, slow, timed, or rapid. You're moving from one to the other too quickly and not perfecting any of the skill chunks needed in any of those iterations. So a better way to practice would be to tell yourself, I need to improve my 10-minute timed fire. Here are the skill chunks I need to perfect my 10-minute timed fire. One, proper and repeatable position. You can spend an entire hour perfecting your position. The second would be target and bullseye acquisition. And that will differ a little bit if you use a red dot or iron sights. You clearly have to perfect your position, which is your stance, before you can repeatedly and accurately bring the gun up with perfect sight acquisition each and every time. If you don't perfect this on the 10-minute slow fire practice, you will never do it when you're trying to shoot your 20-second time fire or your 10-second rapid fire targets. We have a caller?
No, we have a break.
We have a break. Oh, my goodness. Melissa's motioning to me. All right. I'll talk to you around the corner.
This is Ben from Auto Trim Design. We are really busy this year and need more people to join our team. We have openings for several different positions and are looking forward to having new people join our crew. We offer vacation pay, health insurance, retirement benefits, and we'll even train the right people. If working in the automotive accessory or graphics field is right for you, apply in person today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman Street, under the huge American flag. And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Avoid unwanted adventures on the road. Before you leave home, wheel bearings to wiring and lights, make sure your trailer is safe with service from Arctic RV. And that goes for your motorhome and camper too. Bodywork to appliances, Arctic RV. So when the mood hits you, whenever that is, your toys are as ready to roll as you are. Book your appointment now. Be ready then. Alaska plays rough, rough it in style. Arctic RV, 30th and Pegger, Fairbanks.
Extend the life of your car or truck. Keep it in top shape with Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers is a complete auto shop. They do it all. Tune-ups to winterizing. Even engine and transmission rebuilds right on the premises. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. They've been helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Call family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair and be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
Weather brought to you by the Great Harvest Bread Company, your local bakery cafe in the Bentley Mall Annex on College Road. Fresh breads, treats, and great gift ideas.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy today with highs around 60. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight. Lows level off around 39. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 59. Cloudy skies. Low 60s Saturday and Sunday with a chance of scattered showers Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 51 degrees.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255, 458-TALK, and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. I'm so into this subject, and what I'm talking about, I wasn't paying attention to the time. So we talked about proper and repeatable position. We talked about target and bullseye acquisition. Steadying your hand. You can spend quite a bit of time thinking about how you steady your hand. And some of that is concentration, some of it is grip position and pressure, and some of it's related to your stance. A lot of it's in your head. Work on controlling your breathing in the shot process. Work on your trigger finger movement. Work on reacquiring the target and sight acquisition after the recoil. Number seven I have listed here is it better for you to bring the gun up to the bull and shoot, or better to bring the gun above the bull and settle back down? That's what I do. I come above the bull and I settle back down. But some people disagree with it and just want to come up to the bull and take their shot, which allows you to control the shot process better. So you'd work with this for an hour or 2 hours until you figure it out. Work on quieting your mind. What mantra or thought process do you need to develop to concentrate only on your shot process? Remember, Joe Nava used to tell me, only think the best thoughts, which translates into only have in your mind the exact steps it takes for you to take the perfect shot. Humans cannot think of more than one thing at a time. So you need to concentrate only on what you need to do to take the perfect shot. You cannot allow any attention residue to sneak into your shot process. And when you practice, if you're shifting from skill to skill, you are building attention residue, and that's not a good thing. We have a caller. You are on the line.
Hello. Good morning, yes. Laura and Melissa. This is Glenn.
Hi, Glenn. Yes, we are. Good. Did you have a good trip?
Yes, well, I'm here. You're and here. Yes, I made it here, and I'm getting ready for my first match this weekend.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Wonderful, and no snow. I'm so glad you finally get to shoot matches.
No snow, mid-60s and sunny. It's fabulous.
Wow.
So I was curious to know, when you're talking about Cabot guns, are you aware of the guns that Cabot made? They made two, one left hand, one right hand.
Yes.
1911 is made out of a meteorite.
Yes, and it's a set. Yes.
Talk about expensive and priceless guns.
Do you remember what the price is on those?
It was high. I think it was around $500,000, but
yeah.
I don't really think they're for sale.
They make some pretty amazing guns. I've never tried one, but if Brian Zins was their ambassador, I probably have a lot of respect for what they're making.
So one of the things that you talked about with Hardin was when he went to draw his revolver and it got caught up in his suspenders.
Yes.
And being as you're talking about practice, just one thing that I did want to mention, because there's so many new firearm owners out there, and of course your concealed carry classes are obviously very popular, so people are, mm-hmm. concealed carry. One of the things that a lot of people forget to do is practice drawing your firearm, your concealed carry firearm, from the platform that you're
yes.
going to carry it in, whether it's from a handbag, whether it's from a pocket holster, whether it's from a hip holster, whatever it is, and practice drawing from that platform with the clothing that you're going to wear, because it's surprising to find out what happens when you go to draw your firearm and you're wearing a sweatshirt or a hoodie or a jacket
oh, yes.
or a vest, and how many times things will get hung up in coats and things like suspenders. And you really don't know that until you practice over and over again at speed with a timer. And you'll also notice how much slower you are drawing from concealment versus a holster that is exposed.
Yes.
So it's very good to do that and to work out those kinks before you actually need it in a dire situation.
Oh, you are so right. And this last Tuesday, we started giving the bear classes for the geologists in town. And one of the things we do is we spend about an hour going over the holsters, what they need, and they put them on. And then we go through these steps, just like I'm talking about, the skill chunks. We break it down. We do one step, next step. Then we string two steps together, then the third step until they can draw. But what you're talking about is so important, because we want them to figure out what they're going to be wearing, where their gear is, what types of clothing changes will they be going through during the day, how that holster is going to fit. And they don't all come with holsters. They can check out guns if they don't already own them from their agency, but they don't all come with holsters. And this bothered me so much, because that holster and how you draw it, its position, is just as important to me as the handgun, because you're not going to get the handgun if you're not carrying the gun correctly. And so I went out and I just ordered yesterday from 40 Below Holsters, I just ordered more chest holsters so we'd have proper holsters for those geologists to practice with. But you are absolutely right. You have to practice in the platform that you're going to be using the gun.
Yeah, and I know when I first started using a pocket holster, a handgun in a pocket with a regular pocket
mm-hmm.
holster, and of course the first time I drew it out of my pocket, what happened? The holster stayed on the gun, and there I am with a holster on it, and you can't use it that way, you know? The trigger's not even exposed. So it's good to practice that so you know what to expect and how to use it, you know, when the situation, if the situation were to arise. So anyway, I just wanted to toss that in, and I'll let you finish.
I appreciate that, and Melissa and I are glad to hear from you. And just keep calling in while you're out of town and keep us updated on what you're doing, how the matches are going, and anything about firearms that you're noticing out in the lower 48.
You bet, I will.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Okay. So I have just listed for you, for bullseye shooting, 8 items, and there could be more depending on how small we break down our skill chunks. 8 items, but each of those items are a skill chunk that you can spend an entire hour on. Now, those of you who practice for defensive shooting can break down the skill chunks for your end goal. Everything from loading and unloading, whether a revolver or a semi-auto, all sight acquisition issues, trigger management issues, holster drawing and reholstering, malfunction clearing, and on. And don't forget stance, shot hit assessment, assessing your surroundings, and ready positions are important too. And right there's 11 skill chunks I just named, and there's a lot more I didn't mention. So most can be broken down further, and here too, you can spend an entire range hour or more on any one of these during a range visit, and you can also do much of this at home dry practicing. Now, I talked about Chris Synog's spiral workbook titled The New Rules of Marksmanship, a manifesto and training manual that will completely change the way you learn to shoot. In Synog's book, he breaks down the process of learning to draw your gun from a holster and firing 2 rounds. He breaks that down, draw your gun from a holster and fire 2 rounds. He breaks it down into 8 separate skill chunks. That's how small he gets to perfect those steps. Synog's chunk 1 is, quote, eyes and awareness on the target, target recognition, unquote. So you would practice this one piece of the process of drawing from a holster until you perfected it. Why? The why is because we want to build the neural pathway that allows your eyes to focus instantly. But you won't spend just 1 hour on a skill chunk. You'll need to practice that same skill chunk until you perfect it. And that might mean you'll come to the range or dry practice day after day for quite a while to practice that one skill chunk and perfect it before you move on, eventually putting the entire string of skill chunks together to complete the task. Remember the 80-20 rule, and Don talked about this when he was on the program. Apply it to your skill chunk training. Once you put together a string of skill chunks, think about where your weak spot is and then spend 80% of your practice time trying to perfect that and the other 20% to maintain your perfected skills. And remember, many of those skill chunks can be practiced at home and not at the range. So let's talk about how to get from practice sessions to mastering the skill of shooting. Now, granted, we're all doing different activities with our firearms. Some of us are shooting target matches, some practicing for defensive shooting, others practicing for USPSA, and many of us want to perfect our rifle and shotgun skills. I could use help with my trap skills. Now, I used to think practicing meant that if I practiced for some length of time, I'd become good at what I wanted to do, and I would no longer need to practice. I would just be forever excellent. Acquiring and mastering skills does not work that way. It's wrong if we think practice becomes a chore and not the end result, or if we think practicing is a path to a final goal, and that final goal means we've mastered it. Truth is, we never reach a point where we've mastered a skill to the extent that we don't need to practice that skill. Whoever the champion is, a golfer, a bicyclist, a baseball player, a runner, a trap shooter, a USPSA contestant, even me when I teach and I'm no champion teacher, that person has to continually practice. We don't reach a level where we can stop practicing. We have to continue to practice deliberately and effectively in order to maintain that level of mastery.
1 minute.
We have 1 minute left by Melissa, who is in charge of our board. So I'm going to tell you 2 quick things. First, I don't know if I told you this before, But the IMFDB stands for Internet Movie Firearms Database, Internet Movie Firearms Database. And you can find all the movies, TV shows, video games, and more that a gun you're interested in was used in. So write this down. The website is imfdb.org. And this is very cool. If you have nothing to do, just key in a name of a gun. I keyed in Colt Python, and all the movies and TV shows that that gun was used in came up. It's a great thing to do, especially if we have rain forecasts this weekend. You can do that when you can't go outside. And I will close with the three safety rules. Always keep the gun pointed in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger until ready to shoot. And always keep the gun unloaded until ready to use. We'll be back next week.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.